I realize that not all of you guys know what the Thrill of Hope is. So about four years ago, I was sitting in my living room. Mo had started her calligraphy, and she had written on our chalkboard, "The Thrill of Hope, a weary world rejoices." And I was in the process of thinking about that, and this phrase, "the thrill of hope," stuck in my mind. And I was like, what's that thrill? Like, thrill's a big word, right? Like, you go to amusement parks for thrill rides. It's a fun word. It's a good word. And so I was like, what is this like? And I was reminded of the time. So Mo and I met on a Sunday. Rachel, just ignore this story, okay? Some parts of it. Because Rachel was there. She was there. Mo and I met on a Sunday, and I remember driving away, and I called someone on the phone, and I said, if this girl is half as cool as she is beautiful, like, I'm going to pursue this with everything I got. Like, if she's half as cool. And then my sister worked with Mo at the time, and I found out on Monday, Mama, there's Zeke. I found out on a Monday that, I found out on Monday that Mo had been actually talking in her office about this boy that she met over the weekend. And now, Grant, I'm pretty dense, so I was like, boy, did she meet somebody else? No, wait a second, she's talking about me. She's talking about, and I remember going like, oh my gosh, I have a shot with this girl. And you guys all know Mo, like, and you know me, so it was a pretty big deal. Like, I was not even half as the man I am now when I was then. And I was just amazed that this girl, like, there was a possibility. And that's to me what the thrill of hope is. I was like, oh my dear Lord, like, this girl could wind up being my wife. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, like, let's do this thing. And so I called her up that Monday and was like, hey girl, you know, I was trying to be all cool. She married me, so she's stuck now. But that thrill of hope, that is what hope can bring. That thrill, that excitement, that thing. And so we developed at Grace and Mercy, this is our fourth year, going into our fourth year of the Thrill of Hope Project. And I've calculated it as, like, look around. There's not very many people here, and it's never been much bigger than this. And in the 4 years, we've raised over $50,000. Like, $50,000. It's incredible. I added it up, and I started crying, like, the other day, just going like, oh my, here we go. Let's raise 50,000 more. Let's get on with this. It was really, really cool. And so the Thrill of Hope Project is basically a place where to equip and inspire us to do good works. That's what it's for. And so this year we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about we're going to support some missionaries. We'll talk about the work that they're doing. We're going to talk about the persecuted church and raise money for Voice of the Martyrs this year. We're going to raise money for kids who are living in poverty and seeing what that looks like. We'll definitely raise money and talk about, bring awareness on the issues of homelessness and probably talk about the opioid epidemic, as Everett is now suing opioid companies, which is pretty fantastic. But today, in this month, through the month of January, it is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Month. Happens to be my favorite topic, so... I wanted to let you know that we're going to cover other things, but we are going to talk about human trafficking this month. And the money that we're going to raise this month is going to go towards Peoria Home. And so, and that's because we're going to buy tables so we can all go to their thing and support their fundraiser and go and see, listen to Becca Stevens, who is fantastic. But I wanted to start this Thrill of Hope with a quote from y'all's favorite President Donald Trump, okay? "Now, therefore, I, Donald Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim January 2018 as National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month." Hey! Yeah, he did something we like. This is awesome. Yeah, this is great. Yes. And it's going to come in a culmination in an annual celebration of the National Freedom Day on February 1st, 2018. I call upon industry associations, law enforcement, private businesses, faith-based and other organizations, that's us, of civil society, schools, families, and all Americans to recognize our vital role in ending all forms of modern slavery and to observe this month with the appropriate programs and activities aimed at ending and preventing all forms of human trafficking.
Amen.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Amen. It's so cool. So I've been looking at this and I found this quote from Donald Trump and I was like, hey, I like it. That's really good. And so I never thought I would say that. So Mark Dommermuth, I'm going to send this to you so you can hear me proclaim my love for Donald Trump in this paragraph. Okay. Mark texted me the other day about Trump, by the way. It was pretty funny. Yeah. But anyway, it was pretty funny. No, it's funny. I love Mark a ton, so it's cool. So we're going to play our part as a community of faith this month, if you will, right? And we're going to do our work and pray against this evil in our world, okay? And so this is how we're going to do this. I've got national slavery. Okay, so we're going to pray for those in slavery. Right now, the best estimates are 40 million, and this is pretty conservative, 40 million, and that's up from 22 million. They're just better at gauging what human trafficking is just a few years ago. We're going to pray this for them. Remember these things because we're going to pray it right now. We're going to pray for protection, for safety, and ultimately for freedom. And so these are all written down in the bulletin if you want to take that. I got one for you, Aaron. So we're going to pray for protection, safety, and ultimately freedom from this life of slavery. And so I'll open us up, and then if you'd like to pray, Shane, will you close us for this part? We got two other things that we're going to pray for. Father, I thank you so much that we can just come and do our work in this National Slavery and Human Trafficking Month, Lord, that we can come and pray and just confess to you, Lord, that we're weak to stop this. And Lord, we don't know how to do it fully. And Lord, we pray for those who are in slavery right now, Lord. We pray, Lord, I'm going to just pray for their protection, that you will keep them safe, Lord, that you will keep them alive, that even as we talk about it in the thrill of hope, Lord, that they may find hope even in these dark places, and Lord, that you may be their hope and their protection during this time.
Lord, I just pray for each and every individual, man, woman, or child who's involved in the slave trade across the world. Lord, I just pray that you will bring someone into their life that they can trust, and that you will give them the strength when the time comes to be able to trust and be able to grab a hold of any individual that is trying to help them get out of the situation, Lord, because freedom is the ultimate goal. You show each and every one of us what freedom is when we turn to you and allow you to be the Lord and Savior of our life, Lord. These situations are so unbearable and so tragic that many of us can't even understand what they're going through, Lord. And just the chance or the opportunity for one person to gain freedom from this is just, it's a miracle, Lord. So I just ask that in a mighty supernatural way that you will bring many miracles and many people out of the slave trade. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Number two, we're going to pray for the slavers as well. You know that modern-day slavery is not actually just sex trafficking, right? Like, I know I talk about that quite a bit, but that's because that's the niche that I've just kind of serve in. But even in Washington, labor trafficking is bigger than sex trafficking. Like, labor trafficking is immensely huge. Boys, you know, in the agricultural industry throughout the entire world, and whether that be like farming and all that good stuff, but also like mining and fishing and squid and like all these like different things that you can buy that are sold in massive, like, there are people that take these people, use force, fraud, or coercion, some sort of violence against them, and hold them and make them do this work. And these are the slavers. And so we're going to pray that they may repent and that they may turn from their wickedness. So does anybody want to open us? Anybody want to close us?
I'll close us.
Okay. Okay. Angie, open. Okay. Thank you.
Lord, I pray today for the slavers, for those who have used violence or coercion or fraud against other people. I pray that they would repent. I pray that you would call them to repentance, that you would pull the scales from their eyes, that you would convict them. I pray for us in this room who have purchased products and contributed to that. Like, I pray for our hearts to be pierced and for our own education and awareness. I know that you are the God who sees, and I know that you care about the enslaved and the damage done to the souls of those who enslave also. So I particularly lift up the slavers to you now.
Lord, I pray for salvation for the slavers, that in somehow, in some way, in each instance that they're involved in, that you will show up in their life, that you will show them that what they're doing is wrong, and that you will give them the ability to not only walk away from what they're doing, but to be strengthened to also make right what some of them have done, to give opportunities to others to get out of the industry, Lord. And I just ask that you'll, in a mighty way, bring salvation to each and every slaver there is.
Lord, we do just echo these prayers and just lift up these people before you, Lord. We pray that you would, that you would save them, that you would help them to get out of the slavery business, and that those who are out or have been saved will talk to their friends who they still know who are in the business and show them a way out. And the Holy Spirit, that you just move in these people's hearts and that you change their hearts, and that they would be kind to the people they are enslaving if they're before they even get out of it completely, Lord. As that's happening, we pray for them to be kind. You just use your mercy in some way, help them to be not as mean as they could be to those they are enslaving. Amen.
And slavery exists in the world, and there's slavery in almost every country. Not every country is illegal, but almost every single one, slavery is illegal. And yet it still exists, and governments still know about it, right? They either turn a blind eye, and they pretend that they're ignorant. Oh, this doesn't happen here, which is, by the way, really common. Like in Haiti, they turn an eye to these kids who are enslaved. It's really, they're just like, these kids, like, they don't really exist. It's really odd. Like, I've seen slaves in Haiti, and it's just like, I didn't know they were slaves at the time. I do now. But they're literally, they sleep outside under the porch. Now, granted, it's a Caribbean, so it's a little bit warmer than it is here. But still, it's outside. They're not taken care of. They can't go to school. They're in charge of everything while their owners just sit on the porch and eat and drink and smoke. That's what I've witnessed, at least. And so, and the government sees it. They're just like, that doesn't exist here. They'll deny it, but you can clearly see it. And so I would love to, and then not only that, corruption, right? Like half the time half the time when like brothels are broken into in like Cambodia, India, Thailand, you know, Pakistan, like these places, they're broken into and they're rescued by the police. Like these girls are rescued. Like these girls are being rescued by their clients oftentimes. Like the corruption is there, like, and the clients aren't having to pay for this. They're doing it so that hopefully the brothel won't get busted. And so like this is real, that governments do this, and governments kind of can turn their eye. And so I would love to pray for just the governments of the world. It's a pretty big task, but including the United States, that that we will learn to care, that governments will learn to care, that they will learn to act with justice rather than injustice, that they will work to protect their citizens from this form of cruelty. And so I'll close this, but who would like to open us? All right, Parker. You don't have to pray, Rachel. It's good. You can pray in your singing way. Yeah. I just looked at you. I didn't mean it. So, Parker.
Dear Lord, I just want to lift up right now just all the governments of the world. I just pray that that you just allow the governments just to care about just the huge impact that slavery is having and human trafficking is having. I pray that that the governments that are turning a blind eye will just get a nudge from you and just feel the guilt of just the pain and the hardship that they're causing and start to care about these victims. Lord, I pray that just all the countries that is happening in, I pray that that you allow the governments to see what's going on, and not only that, but allow a way for them just to end just the horrificness that is human trafficking.
Lord, we pray that you would move in the hearts of people in the government and move in the hearts of people who are under these governments, that they would just raise up the cry to the government. Wherever that is, whatever country, and wherever people see that injustice, and that for us, if we see it locally, we would talk to our leaders and governments, and then throughout the world, others would as well, and that you would move Holy Spirit in the hearts of the leaders and change the governments.
Lord, I pray for the corruption in our governments, and I pray that you'll expose it, and that you will do a house cleaning, Lord, and bring individuals who can better serve the public and the community by acknowledging the issues at hand, but also with a plan or some sort of desire to bring us through the times into a way to keep corruption out, to bring justice to those who are paying off or doing other things. Lord, I just ask that you bring your righteousness and justice into our governments, and give the community's voice the ability to be heard and used, Lord.
Father, we just ask that governments will care and they will act wisely, and that they will work with other countries, Lord, to protect the world's citizens from this form of cruelty, Lord, that the corruption and ignorance or ignoring this problem just will, Lord, that it'll cease, Lord. We know that with a just government, this can end more quickly and more swiftly, so we ask that governments will act in justice, Lord, for these people, and Lord, that you will lead them and guide them in this way, and Lord, just where the governments profit off this, I pray that, Lord, that profit margin will just cease to be, so that that will no longer be a motive. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I really do want us to do what we can during this National Slavery and Human Trafficking Month. And I do believe as a body of faith, the most effective thing we can do in fighting this is prayer. I'm actively involved in this, but I still think the most valuable thing that we do as a community and I do individually is offer up prayers to God in this area. So please remember this this month. And so that'd be great. Anyway.